Morning. It's Sunday, June 20th, Father's Day.
And the first day of summer.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our service today. And Lord, that we would take in your truth as you would have us take that truth in. And that sure might not involve our mental receiving of your truth, Lord, that we would receive it through our spirits, receive it, just somehow or other, be transformed, not in our thinking, but our whole nature, be transformed by your truth. It's a process. We ask that process be moved along today by what comes along, and we ask that process just continue. Just continue. Oh, by your spirit, that could work. Amen.
Apparently, the Thessalonians were in a pretty good place as far as Paul was concerned. And in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, he says, as touching in verse 9, chapter 4, verse 9, as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. That's quite an acknowledgement, or what's that the word? A combination?
Get the lesson from God.
Yeah. And indeed, you do it towards all the brethren which are in all of Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase yet more and more, and that you study to be quiet and do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly towards them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. And I heard something in here, and it's a few verses yet, and it really affected me. It says in verse 13, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. God will bring them with Jesus. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, I mean, if Paul was under the impression that he was going to be there, apparently, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then this is the verse, the sentence, that it just really affected me. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I thought, what a change that will make.
Uh-huh.
You know, when someone came to Jesus and they said, your mother and your brethren are here to see you. And then he made this statement. He said, who is my mother and my brethren? And then he pointed, he looked around and he said, it is those who hear the word of God and do it. And I thought, see, that's what he heaven is going to be made up of, those who, to make that family who hear God's word and do it. And But the thing is, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so that's a how rapid of a change that will be, and what effect it will have, I don't know.
Well, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, it sounds good. And then it says, and comfort one another with these words.
Yeah.
And of course, that is a comfort.
It is going to require some adjustment, though.
Yes, it will. It has to.
There is something that is not totally comfortable about ever being with the Lord. I hope that will adjust right out of me. But, that 100% truth, 100% love, I hope whatever is resistant to that falls off real quick. But there is something a little resistant to 100% truth, 100% love. Speaking solely for myself, of course.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be changed. In a twinkling of an eye, it says, but we're going to be, And so whatever it is, it's caught up in the, if there's anything left in us that's caught up in this life, that'll be gone.
Mm.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, it's utterly foolish in the face of that love, that truth. Utterly foolish to hang on to whatever is resistant. Now, I think I'm capable of being utterly foolish, but I hope not. I hope.
I don't think we're going to want to. I think when we see him, it says that we're in the First John, the second chapter. It says that when he appeared, we're going to be like him. We're going to see him as he is. And I think one look at him, and I don't think there's going to be anything that doesn't want him.
Go away like ice in front of fire, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought, what a change that is going to be. Will ever be with the Lord. There's something in me, just like as you're talking, there's something in there that says, like, I don't know if I can handle that. But, it will work.
Yeah, we must not discount grace. I know those times when I've had experiences with him, not 100% experiences, but experiences. Oh, there's nothing else I would want. Nothing else. Nothing else.
His presence is all consuming.
Yeah. No, just more is it. Is that the only thing? More of this.
these verses off, Keith, that you shared this morning, kind of interesting, you know, and it kind of backs up some of the things that we've been saying these past weeks. And as you say, Paul seems to be happy with how the Thessalonians are doing, and yet he goes on to encourage them. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. I mean, there's a lot that's said in those verses there.
Yeah.
About continuing to seek after the word, continuing to share with those who might not have that revelation, telling us to not be unaware. There's a very well stated how, I mean, this is a setting of hope. Yet it really gets to the root of the matter of what you're accountable for to get to that hope. And we usually don't see it spelled out quite so well as we do here.
Mm-hmm. And that is quite a statement, that I don't need to write you about brotherly love, because you've been taught of God to love one another. I wonder about that. I wonder what happened that they were taught of God to love one another. Sounds like a whole lot of spirit, maybe.
Yeah. I think they got the good news and took it to heart.
Oh, I guess.
And then Paul says, you know, I didn't do this. You just, you know, the Spirit did. Yeah. Pretty different than most of the other letters. Who's beseeched you, brethren? he's quite happy with where they are at.
I have, it's been on my mind that our whole being needs to know God. Be, you know, what does Paul say in Romans? Be ye transformed. Transforming doesn't mean some alteration in your mental processes. It means being all over changed, you know? And there is an all-over change, that transformation. That we are called to, and I never would have known of any such thing. I mean, I'm certainly capable of. I mean, I heard that verse there in Romans 12 or wherever it is. About be ye transformed. I didn't think it through, though. That change is just a change in everything. I don't know. Not just your thoughts, but everything.
I think the next statement there says, be changed by the transforming of your mind, isn't it?
Does it?
Very good.
Yeah.
Romans 12.
12:2.
Yeah.
Mr. Total Recall over there.
And and the thing is, the thing that has to be changed is the mind. And I was told through an experience, I was in prayer and convinced that I wasn't going to make it. I mean, just I'm sure God just laid that or let that be upon me. And I heard a voice that said, "If you want to find me, you have to look for me where I am." And the Apostle Paul is an exception to any of the other Bible writers. And he makes a statement, I think, in the 20th chapter of Acts. And he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. And what's easy, and one of the problems with a lot of Christians get into is they get a little bit of a glimpse of truth, and they make a doctrine out of it, and whatever it is. And so we have eternal security. We have a lot of things that people are convinced that's what it is. One of the people who used to go to this church made a statement, and he's passed away since that time, but he said, I've seen all there is to see, and what I'm going to do is just going to sit back and relax and wait for the rapture. And anyway, he was a sweetheart, and I don't think he did that, but I hope he didn't. But the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's a different thing about, you know, it's like what God wants us to do is to have the whole picture. Don't be confined just to a little portion of it, to some church, to a church doctrine, to some theology that's people have formed in their head, and that's not what he wants. God wants us to get the whole picture. And then one of the things that I have been realizing, which is really vital, is that no man has seen God at any time. You know what? I don't think you're going to. And we don't know God by vision. It says that Jesus was the expressed image of the invisible God. And so, and God is, he's invisible. He's a spirit. And yet Jesus said in the 17th chapter of John, he said, eternal life is to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom we have sent. And so, if we are to know God, but we can't see Him, then how do we know Him? And that's the revelation I think that we need to get. What we're doing right now is the way you get to know God. You hear His word, you hear Him, you hear what He says, you hear what He says, because the whole teaching of the scriptures, Old Testament and New, is a revelation of who God is, and you get to know Him through His word, and this is what He wants. And so you don't get to know Him by a partial interpretation of it. You get to know Him through the whole counsel. And uh, But I know that we have gotten to know the Lord and all of it in a lot closer ways with the constant intake of the scriptures.
I think I know God a lot better than many people that I've laid my eyes on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know his personality. I know what he's like more than, you know, someone I've seen. You somehow know him.
And that's through the intake of his word. Yeah. That's, you know, the heaven and earth are going to pass away. But God's word will never pass. Mm-hmm. It's always present. And which tells us then that the truth of that word, what is in the word, is going to be what the new heaven and new earth and whatever is created is going to be built around.
Now you're referring to the person that used to attend here, sitting back waiting for the rapture. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a close to a cold heart. And I don't think that's the way to God's heart, having a cold heart toward him.
Well, the scripture says that those that endure to the end will be saved.
Yeah.
And I don't think when you, as you get old, I don't think you're supposed to just sit back and relax or whatever. I think you're supposed to be gung-ho for the scripture, for the kingdom. And, you know, and pray.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask God to increase the zeal and the whatever it is, you know.
As I get older every day, I'm more gung-ho for the kingdom. I want to make a comment, and I don't intend this to be extra scriptural, but, you know, I've dwelt on that scripture verse, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it goes on to indicate, you know, that basically the constant intaking of the word. But I've wondered about that because intellectually you don't want to get hung up on that. And I've often thought the renewing of your mind is basically to continue to do that, you have to have the right heart. Because you just won't continue to do something naturally, if the only reason you're doing it is because you're being told to. You want to do something because you want to do something. And I'm not saying, this isn't saying what it means, but I'm just putting it out for consideration that renewing of your mind might mean more than what it readily you think of. It's talking, you have to have a heart to continually to do something, because in the flesh you'll just give up.
Well, that whole notion of renewal seems like a bigger thing than just changing your mind or you know.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you're reading.
It's renewed. Got a new one. New mind.
Got more.
Something, yep.
The verse before that, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And after you've done this, it says, which is your reasonable service. And I thought about that, you know, that's reasonable.
That's one of the tougher verses in the book.
Yeah. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, And here's what the reason is, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Mm-hmm. God wants us to prove His will. I don't even know how to say that, but to prove that this is what I'm after. And by us allowing Him to make these changes in us, we become His objection, His objective. Not His objective, but His objective. Did I say it right?
Yes, you corrected it.
Okay.
Yes. You don't want to object to being God-like. God, you want to be, your objective is to do that. Actually, kind of an interesting thought there. Those two words meaning such a different thing that sounds so alike. I'll ponder that.
And then, of course, the next verse. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are good words to live by.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an easy problem to get into.
Going back to that business about a cold heart, I think you really do need to cultivate. You got to, I don't know, work at it is exactly the right term, but something like that. Having that love for the Lord, so you aren't just sitting back and waiting. You got to put some wood on that fire, you know. Now, maybe it's just opening the door to His love. I don't know exactly how that goes, but put some wood on the fire. I think otherwise the fire goes down. It's a fearful thing, though. Have that fire go down. I've been in, church fellowships where, like a potluck dinner or whatever, you know. Sometimes the eyes are bright when you're talking about the Green Bay Packers. Sometimes the eyes are bright when you're talking about the Lord. You know? The second one is better. Not that my eyes haven't gotten bright talking about the Green Bay Packers, but, you know. But if it's the Green Bay Packers that get you going, then there's something not real good about that. Not that there's anything wrong with the Green Bay Packers.
Well, I think you're doing a good illustration of We ought to be more excited about life everlasting than life on this earth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And while there's nothing wrong with life on this earth being okay from time to time, there's a whole lot more to be excited about for living and, you know, existing in glory in the presence of the Father forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, it's just...
Mm-hmm.
Well, we go through a lot of stages, even in our relationship with the Lord and with our desire for the Word of God. And I have been in the place where it was a burden. It was a chore to spend a half hour reading the Bible. And I have been in the place where I wanted to read it. You know, I've been in both places. And once we started listening to the scriptures, it wasn't real easy at first. And I thought, as I listened, I thought, you know what, I've heard this over and over and over and over. You know, I know all of this. Hmm. And then after a while, I realized that I really don't know this. I don't think I know what I think I know, you know? And but that's, after a while, that's not who you are. After a while, you want to hear it. My wife, and it's not, music is fine, but my wife was always, she liked certain music, and she'd play them over, and you know, and it finally got to the place before she passed away that she listened to the scriptures just like I did, just on a constant basis. And we used to laugh and cry and just delight ourselves in the scriptures. And that was some of the best times we ever had.
Yeah, nothing beats that.
No. No.
It is funny how, you know, unless the Spirit shines His flashlight on something, it's not, you're going to miss it. You know, how many times would I have heard the business of Paul not telling the Thessalonians that he doesn't have to tell them about brotherly love because they've been taught by God about that. You know, that's not an unfamiliar scripture at all. But it never crashed through to me here until this morning. Never did.
Yeah.
You just, you know, the Holy Spirit shines His light. And, hey, what, look at this.
Just like that verse that says, so we shall ever be with the Lord. And it all of a sudden hit me what that meant. And that's a totally different place to be. That's something we're familiar with.
Yeah.
Focus a lot on how on the trip, and not a whole lot about the destination.
Yeah,
true enough.
It's like, which is not to say, because the trip is, you know, you got to pay attention.
That's what we're doing right now.
You
so
gotta
yeah,
pay attention. But it's we, although it might be good to remind ourselves occasionally that it's a pretty nice carrot at the end of that track.
It's right. A little really, more motivation.
It's really worth it, some of the hoops we're going through here. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
In 2 Corinthians 4, it says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we look at today, but in our hearts we're looking forward to the glory, really.
Yeah.
And I'm saying we need to remind ourselves that's what we need to be doing.
We need
when
to
it gets,
remember it.
When it gets a little grim.
Yeah.
What is the scripture reference for that part?
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through
18. All right. You know, it's a different translation than what I'm used to. And it's good to hear a different translation sometimes. It's a different slang.
It puts a different word in there.
Uh-huh. All right.
Tweak it a little.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what it is. It's a tweak, isn't it? Yeah, no, it's good.
What is to come if we remain faithful?
Thank you.
maybe a little bit different vein, but important nonetheless. We should probably take stock of the number of people in our small group and the people we know that have been challenged in the natural with physical problems, that have done remarkably well with them, given God's hand and grace and mercy. You know, I stop and think about the number of people that have undergone procedures or accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, just how well everyone is doing. I don't think that's just coincidence.
The Lord looks after His children, doesn't He? Now, no parent would want to remove all and every single difficulty from the life of a child. You don't, that's not a way to raise a child. But a parent prevents some kind of lasting serious injury or damage.
Trials aren't necessarily bad.
No.
As long as you keep your eye on the prize. But, I mean, we've had cases of cancer, and we've had limbs that needed work, and we've had necks that needed work, and
blood vessels that need work.
And you're still here.
Right. So, yep.
Good news is He's keeping us here. The bad news is we're still having to endure. But I guess that's to give us more time to renew with our mind.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to have any reason for not longing for heaven, you know.
Well, it says in Philippians, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God.
Mm-hmm. 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 Right.
So it's a sign by God.
Yeah.
Some of those people that oppose me, though, I don't want them to be destroyed.
No, but the things that they're doing.
But I don't want them as a person to be destroyed.
Neither does God.
Yeah.
No.
But if they don't turn to God, you will have no choice.
I still have a hard time with that, though.
Do you really?
Yes. I don't like watching people suffer or be destroyed.
No.
Even when they're inflicting it on themselves. As much as I say they bring it upon themselves, I still don't like watching that.
It's a tough question.
It is. I've never gotten a clear answer to either. Because there are people I still do love that are just doing awful things. Yeah. And I don't want to ever be in a position where I'm like, where are they? Really? Like, they didn't deserve to not be here. So.
I guess.
But I don't have the answer to that.
No.
My thought is to pray for them. And that's all we can do, is pray for them and trust that God knows what the answer is for them. And He'll bring it all. We can't do it, but God can, and maybe He'll use you in a way to bring them. Change them.
Yeah, opportunities.
Yeah.
I failed at all of them.
And if you pray for them and love them, that's about all you can do until God gives you more. I know it's hard. My own family, I have the same thoughts, you know.
What I know is that we have a good God.
Yeah.
And that's got to count for a lot. on that issue. I don't know what, you know, I don't know the particulars, but I do know we have a good God, and that has to, he's good, and that has to count for a lot.
And he knows their heart, and we don't always, we only know the straight story.
Now, I don't want to turn that into an excuse not to be concerned or whatever, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
We serve the God of miracles.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to put in a prayer list here in church.
Yeah. It's difficult watching someone appear to make bad choices. At the same time, you know, all you can do is be there for them to maybe help them realize it's a bad choice. The flip side of that is our God. Our God's grace and mercy extend far beyond what I know. So, even someone who's doing something you could argue was bad, and even though they don't have a good heart, doesn't mean in God's eyes that all hope is lost. In fact, it might mean it's just waiting before God flips the switch. The trouble is, we get in the way and we're trying to figure out, well, you know, what should happen. And then, in honest, you know, fair question is, should I be doing more? Should I be ministering more? Should I be reaching out? You know, and you sort of get hung up on needing to wait on God a little bit. But we came across a repeated scripture here at church a while back about, you know, you can't have ought against anyone. You know, I crawled out of here on the floor going, well, I'm a far away from that, because well, I try to like everyone. I do have ought against a couple, and I don't want it, but I do. So I know that I'm not yet arrived. And likewise, you don't want to be wishing ill for your enemies, because if you have the right heart, you want your enemies to succeed as well. That's tough. And when you say you've never got a good answer to that, you might have to ask yourself, well, you might have already got the answer, it just wasn't in a way that you wanted to hear it.
So, yeah.
That could be.
You know, at least I find a lot of my answers never come in like, quirky. Go here, go left. Go forward, you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing ever happens that way. It's like, mm-hmm. I get this little thing, and then I get another little thing, and then Charlie says something to me, and then God, the Spirit works on me, and you know. Mm-hmm. And then I ask myself, you know, I really would have been able to get a more direct answer. I could have got on this quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But he decided that, no, it might be a 12-month or an 18-month or a two-year plan. And then I have to get back on my face and say, I really appreciate how you do things in your perfect time, even though it doesn't line up with my brain.
Okay. Okay.
And what he's going through might be the very thing he needs to make him come about.
Because we see the healing ministry of Jesus in the scriptures, and everybody that came to him was healed, and miracles is what they were. But we're not promised miracles, but we're promised healings. And the healing might not take, and might not be right an immediate thing. And it says in James, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And it could be a time element involved. And so if we can believe God, if we pray for somebody and we can believe that God healed them, and not panic after a day or so, and let God have the time to heal them. And I've seen a lot of those.
That's really good, Keith. I mean, everything was, you know, Jesus did something, he prayed for something, boom, it happened. So we keep going, well, then we should pray for something, and boom, it should happen, because that's the way the scriptures read. And you go, you don't know.
Well, we lose our faith if something doesn't immediately happen.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, God, you can lose your faith too. God does everything you ask right away. You know, I pray to God to do this and do that, and I get the answer to prayer, that's right away. Where's my faith going to be in the end? Because then I know he's going to answer right away on everything. So by making you wait, he's building your faith in him.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to lose faith in him, you know. So you're being tested no matter how you do it.
Okay. Yeah, that's the thing about tests. Some people pass, some people don't.
Some
don't study the Bible for
it. Yeah, let's go around the mountain again.
Spirit man growing, spirit flesh man dying.
Yeah. Rise up, spirit. I fall short every day.
Yep.
I think we should pray for Susan and pray for some substantial rain.
Yeah.
Pray for Susan and
yeah, she's having an equilibrium problem, and we just don't know.
Oh.
I mean, we think it's just it's unrelated, but we have a checkup here on the 30th, so we'll find out more. But
okay. Well. Lord, Corky did raise the issue of the physical problems that a lot of us have been going through, and he noted your faithfulness in seeing us through those things. We thank you for that.
Amen.
Yes,
kind of a
amen.
And it's a pretty long list. Pretty long list of things that could have gone bad and haven't. There's Barb's shoulder and the operation the body went through this last week, and Susan's dealing with cancer, and then with her back, her neck there. It's quite a list, and we thank you.
Your cancer.
Early on in that list is certainly what happened with Dale. Oh my. Take the kind of hit that he took to his head and be essentially the same person afterwards. Oh, you were so good to your children, Lord. So good. But Lord, we ask, oh Lord, that, we ask that that sort of thing continue.
Amen.
And Lord, we ask you that you would see us through our physical things. Now, to get old is to get sick. Mm-hmm. But, Lord, we ask that there would be a renewing of our, not just our mind, but our body too.
Yes.
And that we would not, our focus could be on better things than our aches and pains and ailments and all that, you know. So, Lord, we ask that you would keep us in good health. Now, if you are using problems with our health as some kind of learning tool for something that's going to equip us for eternity, I certainly have no argument with that. But Lord, these things can be distractions too. So Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that we would be kept in the palm of your hand. Kept in the palm of your hand, O Lord, and that there would not be those things that would drag us into something that is just not what you are all about. And Lord, if there be an opportunity to present a good picture of you as we deal with our trials, oh my, bring it on, Lord. Bring it on. Whatever. I'm thinking of myself in that. If I have an opportunity to hear having stage 4 cancer, if I can be a witness to the things that you do for your children, then, oh, yes, I say yes to that.
Yeah.
But, Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that you would keep us, Lord, by your Spirit. Keep us, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Your hand of protection.
Yes.
Situation, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being there.
Can you pray something?
Lord, we'd ask for your blessings of rain, Lord God.
Oh, yes, rain.
Help the farmers, help us, Lord God. Let us get caught up and have an abundance of rain right now, Lord. We appreciate
yes.
that.
Yes.
Increase thy bounty, Lord God.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. I love you all.